In Joshua chapter 14, if somebody would, if we want to be interactive tonight, somebody look up Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, Hebrews 11, chapter 6, Hebrews 11, verse 6, and Hebrews 13, verse 8. If you want to, if you don't have to, I can run it down here in a little bit, but it'd be quicker if you guys do it. So Joshua chapter 14, about verse 6. We're going to do kind of a little bit of encouragement. How about that? Wow. I mean, I thought, you know, only messages I know are like hard-hitting messages. I can't, you know, God go ruin my track record. Kind of lifting people up and encouraging them. But I guess that's what he wants to do. And it's the title of the message tonight for me is You Don't Have to Be a Superhero. You don't have to be a superhero. Hey, listen, when I say that to you, as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you don't have to be a superhero. All right? You don't have to be the very best. You don't have to be the strongest, the best looking, the most fit, the most wise, I don't know. I could go on and on in the adjectives there. I'm just letting you know, you ain't got to be a superhero. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be amazed. Some are going to be amazed at us, but we're going to be amazed at what we call a hall of fame of faith. When we run into some people, the Pauls, the Davids, we're going to run into, John the Revelator, John the Baptist. We'll run into people. Peter, we'll have them in our mind as these great, big, powerful people, and we'll be sitting there going, well, that was you, right? And then they'll look at us and they'll say, you're the ones who believed in Jesus Christ in one of the most watered down, hardest times to live for Jesus in history. We was all in that great cloud of witnesses up there watching you, and we were blown away at how you walked for the Lord. Amen. We had some stuff going on for us. We carried the Ark of the Covenant. We had a cloud by day and fire by night. God was dropping manna everywhere. Man, we had Jesus walked with us. We had some people along the way who had actually seen some of the miracles. And you guys, man, you come out of the United States of America where on a Wednesday night you could be doing anything else. You can be anywhere else doing anything you want to be doing. You was in a church. Amen? You was in a church worshiping Jesus, seeking a word to help you live closer to Him. Man, I'm telling you, it's going to be amazing, but you ain't got to be a superhero. We're going to be blown away. I can't wait till we get a good old glance of Samson. Amen? You know that's insane by what he, because everybody was wondering where his strength was. They was looking at him and they was going, how does he do it? He wasn't a big man. He wasn't a strong looking fella. They were just like, this don't make any sense. Oh, I can't, never mind. I think we'll be surprised at Jesus. Amen? Just a normal looking fella. We're probably like, goodness gracious, we thought you was beautiful. Well, he'll be beautiful to us, right? Let's get in the Word. You don't got to be a hero. When I say the name Caleb, does it ring a bell with some of you? Caleb. Anybody want to take a shot at it, Caleb? One of the spies. Good job, Miss Peggy. All right, let's go a little bit. Let's go in here. Verse 6, Joshua 14, 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee, or me and you in Kadesh Barnea. You know what he was saying? He said 45 years ago, me and you and 12 other guys, we all went in there and we spied out that whole region. We went in and we looked at the whole promised land, and me and you are the only two people that come out and said, we can trust God. Let's go in. Let's get it done now. I'm about to drop a bomb on God gave me about three or four things today, just blew me off the map. I mean, just blew me off the wall. But I show this thing right here. God said, when we went in there and looked at it, 45 years ago, God made a promise because me and you believed in what? Just simply believed that God could. He's 85 years old. We looked at it. I trusted God. You trusted God. And everybody else didn't. And God made a promise. When we come back here, we'll have this land. Amen? You might want to just make a note right here. If you're any kind of person in here like me, you might want to make a note right here. If you don't deal with the problems now, you'll have to deal with them later. If you don't deal with the problems in 45 years, when you come back around, those problems ain't going to get no easier. God, amen, preach. That's good preaching, man. That helped me a lot. Yeah, man, if you made the trip all the way up here, you might as well just jump in with me anyway. Let me tell you, is there anybody in here who has found out that you put off a problem, you put off a situation that you knew God wanted you to deal with, but you put it off, and that problem didn't get easier, it got harder, but you still have to deal with the problem. Good Lord. I've had the great opportunity to be in ministry, and when I first came into ministry, I worked with young men, young boys. You know what I found out? Later on in ministry, I dealt with older men. Same problems, different ages. Good Lord. I could go home. I'd say it's good to be here for myself. Amen? There's about four or five things. Every once in a while, God says, won't you deal with that? I'll put it, I'll do it, I'll get it, I'll get at it. Amen. Them things just get bigger and stronger and more adept, right? So he said, remember those promises that, you know, God gives. He said, remember what the promise he made to me and you. All right? In Kadesh Barnea, verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, and it was in my heart. Boy, that's good, right? He goes, I went in there. I love Caleb, man. Caleb went in there, and he goes, man, these guys, and literally, even when they went back, if you do any study on this, that was the people that he wanted were mountain folk. Mountain folk are stubborn, mean. They'll fight. They're territorial. Golly, y'all should be saying amen or something. Golly, bum, I'm talking about you. They were dug in. They were big. They was a big problem. They didn't want anybody coming up there. They knew the terrain. They knew that they lived up there. They were isolated upon everybody else. Caleb's like, he went in there and said, they said, man, Caleb had to go. He said, if you go spy that group up there, Caleb, you know what he did? He's probably like us. I'd like to live up there. I like the way it looks. And if it's isolated now with them, if I take it over, it'll be isolated from me. Good luck now. Some of y'all get that when about 20 more houses are built in here. Luckily, 20. Sorry. All right. Nevertheless, my brethren, where are they at? 47. That was in my heart. What he's saying is, I believed in my heart, in my mind, I believe God gave me that. I believe that he gave me that. What I spied out, I never fainted on it. It was a tough group of people we'd have to fight, tough terrain to fight in, but in my heart, I just believe God. You might want to write this note down. You don't have to be a superhero to be a Christian. All you got to do is believe God. When you can't believe your eyes, when you can't believe your senses, and this right here is a big one, when you can't believe your feelings, you got to have faith. You got to say, I'm just going to believe God. When you look at it with your eyes, you say, I can't. That's too big. It's too much. You got to change that thought. Say, my eyes are lying. God's truth. Amen. God said, this is our promised land. We're going to move in that. I can have what I want to have with God. I can have that mountain. That's what I'm going to do. Praise God. I can have it. Your feelings. When you get around everybody else, let's go a little bit further in verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. He said, my heart, I didn't care what everybody else said. I'm going to be honest with you. That's easier said than done. If you don't know this, we're living in really similar times right now. We are the minority in the way we believe. We are single-minded. We are closed-minded. We are the people that everybody will think that we're old-fashioned, old way of thinking. That ain't right. But guess what? You can't listen to everybody else. Everybody else doesn't matter when it comes to Jesus. I just listened to this today. One of the fastest growing Christian groups in America, the epicenter of Christianity today, is underground church in China and underground church in South America. It is exploding. I had a pastor friend of me call me today, and he said, in Afghanistan, there are people coming to the Lord by the thousands and the hundreds of thousands. They have got a radio broadcast that's going under the wires of everything else. And he said, there are people, there's, you know, you looked at the pandemic. We looked at the pandemic in a certain way. We went, failure, epic destruction. You know what they did? It opened up the thing for everybody to get online and do seminars and things online. So guess what? Everybody's meeting online in Zoom meetings and like this. Guess what? Some crazy radical preacher said, if all these people from Afghanistan are going to be on Zoom, we can have Christian meeting, and they're not closing it down. So guess what? By the hundreds of thousands, they are coming to Jesus. You're just looking at it from a lens of America. We were an epicenter of Christianity. We are now moving off of it. And guess what? The rest of the world's going, I'll take it. And it's not popular, and it's not fun, and you can lose your life. And I think I preached a message here this Sunday. I hope we start to get to the understanding that being a Christian is not easy. It's not one of those things that you go, man, everybody's going to love that I'm a Christian. Everybody that goes to church with you might. Your grandmother, mother, or father who've been praying for you might. But your friend group and everybody else is not so much. Amen? I love this right here. Nevertheless, my brethren, I'll just read the whole verse again. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 9, and Moses sware on the day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and the children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Ain't that good? Listen, all Caleb was doing, you can do this. We can do this. He's living on a promise. Living on a promise. That's all. He had faith, then the faith was backed up by a promise. Praise God. I hope I don't have to spell that out to this Wednesday night crowd. Guess what? We have faith in Jesus Christ, and it's backed up by the promise. Amen. That's all. This is the gospel. Amen. You got to realize all Caleb did was like, all right, I want my promised land. We can go back in. We're not going back in. We're going to turn. We're going to turn into the wilderness for the next 45 years. But Caleb goes, okay, what about me, though? What about being my family? You're going to get the land that is owed to you. All right, now I'm going to go into that a little bit more here in a little bit, but just think about that. No, it's we can sit in a church with air conditioning in the month of May in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, and I can say that, and it rolls off our ears. It's like, yeah, that's cool. Man, we have a hard time waiting 5 minutes on anything in this country. Just get a ring of this. Hey, yeah, okay, in 45 years from now, you're a green light. Okay. Man, I'm telling you right now, I'm the world's worst. I pray and talk to God, and I'm like, all right, God, show me. Let me see it. Let's do it. Let's do it, God. He's like, yeah. Could you imagine? Okay, Kevin, you got this. 45 years from now, you can do exactly what you want to do in the place you want to do it. All right. 40. Y'all are so cool. I know how you got. I wish, sometimes, I know this probably ain't going to happen, but with a couple of you, but I would love to ride down the road with some of y'all. I've rode with that guy right there. I've rode with him. He's rode with me too, so I can't talk too much. But y'all sit in here and you guys act like if it's going my way or not going my way. Yeah. I want to share this with you. This person doesn't no longer gone here, been gone for about 3 years. I remember, you know that little spot right down here in Saudi when you come down the mountain and the people come out of Dayton? That lovely little connection area right there. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? When you're trying to merge right there and you got some pedestrian, some person, his sweetheart, is in the outside lane doing 85 and you're doing 84 right on their rear bumper right there, right on their side panel. and you got some wild-eyed, crazy person coming up out of Dayton who's doing 89, but they ain't cleared neither one of you, and you got somebody on the inside of them, are y'all good? Well, one morning that all came to pass, and it was me in that little sweet spot right there that you've got to get over and let the crazies from Dayton get in. I used to be one of the crazies from Dayton, but I ain't no more. All right, so all of a sudden, guess what? I'm stuck in that lane. That car ain't going nowhere. I can't go nowhere. And the car's over here, and it's trying to come over. And I see him looking. And the next thing you know, I see him. And there's a church member. He wasn't waving. You understand what I'm saying? I ain't going to say all of you, but I'm going to say some of you in here ain't patient all the time. Amen? Next time I seen him, I didn't say a word. That's funny. And Moses swore on the day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be an inheritance in thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, I am this day 85 years old. I'm 85. As yet as I am as strong the day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Listen to this, verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain. That's awesome. Give me that mountain. I want it. I've thought about it this whole time. I've been on it this whole time. And I started thinking about this. What did Moses have? Did anybody go to Hebrews 11:1? Anybody do that one? Did anybody? I should have done it myself. Hebrews 11:1. I'll run over there real quick. Won't take me a minute. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He said, I believe. Like when they turned them out, of the promised land, and they were going to go back into the wilderness for 45 years, he just said, I believe there will be another day when I'm standing here at the entrance that I'm going to be perfectly well to do this. I just believe. Guys, listen, it's not that complicated. I just believe God. I believe God. There's some things going on in our ministry right here at this church. There's some things that are happening right now. I can't see it. I can't explain what God's doing, but I know it's coming. I know it is. I know it like I know who my name is. I'm sitting there going, oh, God, this is going to be good. And I've told people, I said, man, this thing's either going to blow up, and we're going to have more people than we can imagine, and God's going to be saving people and doing stuff, or it could fly apart. But I believe God wants to hold it tight. Amen? But I seen that. He said, give me that mountain. He said, 45 turns him around. And by faith, he couldn't look down. You can't either. We can't look down through there and see 45 years from what's going to be happening. I'm going to be 85 when I come back. Man, what will I be doing at 85? When God brought him all the way around, by that faith, what's this right here? This is the part that gets me. Hebrews 13:8. Look at that with me real quick. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forevermore. And I know that's talking about Jesus. Amen. I know that's talking about Jesus. I know it is. But you know what it's also talking about? I can trust him today. I can trust him tomorrow. And you know where else I can trust him? Forever. 85 years, 45 years from now, I can say that he's going to be good and his promise is going to be good. I was going to get into that a minute ago, but could you imagine? Listen, guys, can you imagine? Everybody else is going to drop dead in that wilderness. But Joshua's family and Caleb's family, everybody, a whole generation of everybody you knew walking around. When he was standing in the promised land, God was good, truthful. I can have that. When he turned everybody around, plus Joshua and Caleb, he said, God's good. I can trust him. Amen? But could you imagine that 45-year exchange? Guys, hang with me just for a little bit. Just can y'all get that? Can you listen to the conversations that was being had? Can you listen to how they were had to interact? I mean, I'll guarantee you, being around, we're talking about almost a million people, if not more, and every meeting he ever went to was all about the wilderness. Every meeting, everything they ever talked about was, we're going around and around and up and down and around and around. And he was sitting there with a promise. And if you're not careful, he could have got focused on their conversation, which is what? A dying conversation. A death conversation. But every once in a while, I wonder if they looked over at Caleb. He's like, Caleb, what are you doing? I'm just trying to figure out where I'm going to live and where my daughters are going to live. And there was that one creek that ran down, this big, beautiful water, and there was this one plot of land that's beautiful. And he goes, after I get those giants out of there and run them off and clear this like here, and I believe I could farm right here. And we're going to die out here. I mean, God's got us out here doing this. I don't know why he's doing this to us. We could have stayed in Egypt. We could have done this. We could have done that. When I was over there, I remember they brought them one set of grapes. Do y'all remember that? When you read that story, they brought a cluster of grapes. Dude, a cluster of grapes on their shoulders. Two dudes carried grapes. A cluster. Go to Walmart. You ain't getting no cluster on your shoulder. You look like a fool. Right? They had grapes that looked like softballs. Man, that's what he's like. Man, you think that was something? You ought to see what was going on in the mountains up there. There's growing stuff up there too. That's amazing up there. When I get up there, man, 45. Ed, I'm not talking about a year. I'm not talking about putting up with somebody for 4 or 5. Man, we think we've done something. We put up with somebody for a few months. 45 years of death talk and death walk. And Caleb's still excited about his, where he's still excited about the promised land. He's seen it. He got a glimpse of it. We don't get a glimpse of the promised land. We get a glimpse of Jesus. We ride on the promise for however long we're here on earth, but we never forget the glimpse that we got, and we're sitting on the promise. It doesn't matter how long we have to walk around with death and have to hear death. We've got life. And life more abundantly. Man, what an awesome trip. And then I thought about Hebrews 11:6. I wanted to get this in there too. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I got on these thoughts. You don't have to be a hero, and we don't know what he looks like. There's no description of Caleb. How tall he was? Was he a stout man? Was he a weak man? There's no description of how he dressed. There's no description of how he looked. You know why? Because it don't absolutely matter. Because you know what? It wasn't going to be in him anyway. And it's not in you anyway. It's in his belief in God. He put everything that he had on the Word of God. His whole heart was towards God. I believe God can. Period. I don't care how old I am. I don't care how tall, how short, how heavy, how lean, how much stuff I got, how much stuff I don't have, who I have to be around, what I have to do. God is faithful. Man, I thought to myself, man, we are going through some crazy times in this world. What do we have to do? We got to have faith in Jesus Christ. We've got to please God by saying, God, I don't care what I see. I don't care what I do. And I don't care what I have to go through. I'm just going to trust you until I get home. I'm just going to trust you. In my house, there are many mansions. Golly, bum, I don't even know what that means. I don't even know. All I know is when I read the Bible, God created the whole earth and everything in it in 6 days. And he rested on the seventh. So he's been preparing a place for me since I got born again. And before that, he knew I was going to be born again. God's making a mansion of preparing a place for me. My gosh. I can't wait. I can't wait. Because we're just walking around in the wilderness. If you didn't know, all this is a direct correlation, type and shadow, of the children that were in bondage of Israel. They had the Passover lamb. That was another bomb that God dropped off on me today. I was sitting there reading the 51st Psalm. That's what I thought I was going to preach to you tonight. And I got hung up on this word, the hyssop. I'm just sitting there going, the hyssop. You know, I'd seen it over there, but I'm like, what is that, God? What is a hyssop? And all of a sudden, just in my Holy Spirit, you know what he said? Jesus. And Jesus ain't the hyssop. He goes, yeah, if you look close enough, he is. You know what it is? It's a desert flower that's really beautiful. It really is. It grows on walls, and it grows on rocks. It grows in deserts more than anywhere else. And you know what it acts like? When you put it in blood and dip it in blood and pull it out, it acts like a brush. It's really good. Like, have you ever, some of y'all are professional painters. I'm not. You notice when you dip a hyssop in and you pull that out, and the brush, you put it in paint, all of a sudden you get them little drizzles to paint. I know some of y'all are like, don't do that. I do. You can tell where I've been painting. The hyssop dripped blood over the altar, right? But the first hyssop was put on the doorpost. It was used like a paintbrush. Amen? It's a beautiful flower. It's a flower that grows in harsh places around rocks. But it also, as beautiful it is, when it's the most beautiful, when it comes into the sanctuary, is when it's covered in blood. Whoa! Jesus is beautiful. But he looks better when he's covered in blood. Because he can paint your life with the blood, or he can drip the blood upon your life, but one drip of blood will save the whole world. Amen. Ain't that something? How you can just see something like that out of one thing. But they would come out of that. They come out of that bondage of Israel. They walked into the Red Sea, and they came up to the other side. That's like baptism. They were baptized, and they come out the other side, and they wandered around the wilderness. Guess what? They were away from the enemy. God loved them. They were his children, but they had to go around for a while. The ones who crossed over the Jordan and looked into it and said, that's the promised land. I believe you for it. Those are absolutely like us. We are just passing through. Oh, we're just passing through. He said, what's the overarching message for tonight? Just believe God and never give up on him. Never, never waver. Never think, well, if I get sick or if I get this or if I get that. What you got to say is, God didn't save me to live on this planet forever. I wasn't meant to walk through this wilderness for the rest of eternity. This is, you know what the children of Israel lived like in the eternity, in the wilderness? You know what they lived in? They lived in tents. When they went into the promised land, they lived in solid housing. You know what God always tells me? Don't drill your tent pegs too deep on this side. This world is not your home. Love here, enjoy here, be here. But guess what? Praise God, we're going somewhere. We are going somewhere. And just like Caleb, man, I hope it sounds like this. After I peel myself off the floor, after you peel yourself off the floor of heaven, when we stand before God, we'll melt like dish rags. We will fall on our face before Jesus, and we'll declare him Savior and Lord, and we'll worship him. And when we get up, I hope somebody just has the boldness to say, give me that mansion. Where do I live at? Amen? Where's my house? Where's my home? Where do I dwell? In heaven. And I can't wait till he says, right over there. Right over there. Just like I promised you.
Just I promised you, the day you got saved, mine's August 28 of 04, I don't know when yours was, that day that you cried out to Jesus, when he revealed your sin, he revealed you as Savior, you cried out to him and asked him to be the Lord of your life, you know what he did? He went in preparation for you to be in heaven. And you're living by faith on a promise until that day comes. Boy, ain't that something. Be a Caleb. If you're going to be anybody, you know what I loved about Caleb too? He was not he's not a murmurer. He's not a complainer. And I've got this little rule. Let's complain one time. Let's murmur about it. And then let's fix it. Let's solve it. All right? Oh, that's the problem. This is what's wrong. If you come and counsel with me, I've got people all the time. They'll come to me and say, I want to fix the problem. They'll come in and say, this, this, and this. I say, all right, I hear the problems. Next week, come in. We're going to try some solutions. The next week they come in, they just want to rehearse the old problems again, I usually say, I'm probably not going to be the counselor you're going to need. Because I don't like to just talk about the problems. Let's fix them. Amen? Here's what Caleb said. I love it. Everybody's going, we can't go in there. We're like ants. We're like grasshoppers and they're like giants. We won't make it. Caleb said, let's go in. Let's get in there. But then could you see him at 85? Give me that mountain. Joshua, you know, you were there. Two people got witness to that. Me and you, buddy. I want my mountain. Let's all stand. What I'm just trying to encourage you tonight, God wanted to encourage me as well.